Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you all. And it's a beautiful morning, so thank you for bringing the sunshine. And this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And I know for some of us, when we get up in the morning, it's ow, oh, ah, ah. But we've got here to bring praises to the Lord, and that's the important thing. Father God is looking for your praises, and your praises make him sing. And I will share that in a moment or two. But bless you, and it's lovely to see you all. And I've been asked to give two notices. Ooh, just two. AGM on Tuesday evening, the 19th of March at 7:30 in the CLC next door. And Wednesday worship, this Wednesday in here, the 20th at 7:30. We'd like to see you all there if you can manage it. It'd be great to see you. And we always have the Wednesday worship. It's a very gentle time of worship. And whatever the Lord brings people to share with us, that's what happens. So seek the Lord yourself as to whether you're coming. And if you are, just seek his face and say, Lord, have you got anything to give me to give to the people? Because it's everybody's responsibility, not just the pastors. And it's interesting. When you do that, it's amazing what God gives you. And if you want to talk to Jackie, after the service, ask her to share what she shared with me this morning. It's very, very lovely and interesting. Please do that, that you'd be very blessed. So as we come to worship, let's start with our first hymn, 366, Jesus is King. Please feel free to sit or stand, or if you get halfway through and you find, oh, I can't stand anymore, just sit down. It's okay. It's not a problem. Thank you. Bless you.
Amen. Would you like?
like to sit down. Thank you. Let's just bring ourselves to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you that you know each one of us here today. You know how we're feeling, what we're thinking. And Father God, we just say, help us to worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Father, that your love is so vast, so strong, so wide, so deep, that we can't even imagine it. But your word says that you love us. And on that, Father, we depend on you. And so help us this morning, Lord, to bring our adoration and praise to you. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Amen. Just like to read a psalm to you, and not a whole psalm, just a little. Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Saviour. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We praise you for it. There's another verse, if you will allow me, in Zephaniah. And Thursday morning, this came to light as we were praying. And it's Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. Take that on board. He will take great delight in you. I saw a dad the other day in town, and the little girl was with mummy just down the road, and daddy was coming towards them. Again, I seem to see people like this. And this little girl was so excited. Daddy, daddy, daddy. And she flew her arms up, and he just picked her up and gave her a massive hug. And Jesus wants to say to you this morning, I want to hug you as well. I want to show you my love this morning. And he's saying, allow me to do that. And it also says in that, he will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Singing. He rejoices over us with singing. And because he rejoices over us, and we know that and understand that, I want to rejoice in him. And so that's what we're going to do. Just three short worship songs this morning. If you want to stand, please feel free to do so, or sit down and just praise the Lord in your way. We're all different. If you want to just sit quietly and listen, that's fine. But let's come and praise the Lord. Only by grace can we enter. Thank you.
Only by grace can we enter. What if you mark our transgressions? Who will stand? Thanks to your grace, we are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. What if you mark our transgressions? Who will stand? This is my desire. Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing, power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength.
Hallelujah. Yes, bless you. Would you like to sit down for a moment? And if you feel that you would like to pray out loud prayers of thanks to the Lord, please do that now. And just say, tell him how much you love him. Only needs to be two words. I love you. That's three, yes. No. Father, we just thank you that you just so desire to be here with us, and you are here. And Father, we thank you. Thank you and praise you this morning. Amen. Amen.
Lord, we thank you that you are our tower and our refuge in times that are difficult and in times that are a bit easier, but we can still run to you and be enclosed by your warm embrace. Amen.
Amen.
I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Lord, we're so grateful you accept us into your presence, your very presence. We thank you in song for that this morning. And we thank you we can do so together, this joyous company of friendly people, people who love you, Lord, and love one another. Praise you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I thank you, Father, for your love, for the love that encompass each one of us, and Lord, the joy of having you to live with me. And Lord, I just thank you for that special love that you give. John, I need to be acting with my wife's sincere Lord. I thank you for her life. Although now she's in hospital, Lord, I pray that you just watch her. And for all this and this awful class of dementia, Lord, we just pray that Nancy will be here. But even so, Lord, we just thank you for that wonderful grace that you have for us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we lift up our hearts to you this morning with thanks and love.
Amen. Amen.
Father, I want to thank you for that you give me strength to arrive here this morning. You know how I'm feeling, but I'm glad that I've been here and been with this music that's done my heart good this morning. Thank you for all that we've sung, all the different words, and they all mean so much to each one of us. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Father God has heard your worship this morning and it's brought him delight. Don't think that you are never worthy to come into the presence of God. Once you've given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and asked him to take away your sins, he comes in and cleanses and heals. And you can delight in him. It's a lovely word. I just like that word. It's not used a lot now, is it? Delight in his will. And as we delighted in his this morning with us in worship, I'm sure he will delight with the children going out with Angela this morning. Who is helping you, Angela? Jean. Well done. So children, you're going to have a great time with Angela. We will pray for you before you go out and ask the Lord to bless you. Father, we thank you and praise you for the gift of children. We thank you, Father, that you love them. We thank you, Father, that you want them to know you in a deeper way. Pray for Angela and Jean as they go up with them together. Give them a happy time, Lord, this morning. And bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Angela. Bless you. I just remembered, as they go up, I'd forgotten about the offering. So can we take up the offering as the children go up? Thank you. Thank you. Colin, you've had a receipt because Jesus loves you. Father, we thank you and bless you for these gifts that have been given to the increase of your kingdom. And Lord, we pray that they will be used wisely and carefully, and that they will be increased for your kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Sue is now going to read scripture for us. Thank you.
Our reading this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 to 13. You can find it on page 1149. Now, about food sacrificed to idols. We know that we all possess knowledge, but knowledge puffs up. Those who think they know something do not yet know as they ought to know. But whoever loves God is known by God. So then, about eating food sacrificed to idols, we know that an idol is nothing at all in the world, and that there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. But not everyone possesses this knowledge. Some people are still accustomed to idols, that when they eat sacrificial food, they think of it as having been sacrificed to a god. And since their conscience is weak, it is defiled. But food does not bring us near to God. We are no worse if we do not eat, and no better if we do. Be careful, however, that the exercise of your rights does not become a stumbling block to the weak. For if someone with a weak conscience sees you, with all your knowledge, eating is an idol temple, won't that person be emboldened to eat what is sacrificed to idols? So this weak brother or sister for whom Christ died is destroyed by your knowledge. When you sin against them in this way and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother or sister to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause them to fall. Thanks be to God for his word.
As we continue looking at Corinthians and the heading Food Sacrifice to Idols, a brief background on Corinth before we go into it. It was a port town about 45 miles away from Athens. It was full of idols and foreign gods. If you look at Acts chapter 17, 16 to 34, you'll know that when Paul was in Athens, he saw many gods and false idols and was distressed, but also he saw one to an unknown god. So Corinth being so close to Athens, no wonder they were full of idols and foreign gods. So today's chapter about food offered to idols. From what I understand, there were two sorts of ceremonies, private or public. An animal would be divided, some of it burnt, and some given to a priest. And any leftover, if it was public, could be put back into the marketplace. If it was a private one, the person could offer a meal with it, which is where Christians had the problem of knowing whether they were buying meat that had been offered to an idol or eating something that had been offered. But as I was looking at this chapter, there was one verse that stood out, and it just was like lit up all the time, and it was verse 8. But food does not bring us near to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better if we do. And as I looked and waited, there are four things I just want to share briefly that hopefully Paul was trying to get over to the Corinth church. The first one is, God desires relationship with us. It started in the Garden of Eden. Genesis 3, after God had created and Satan got Adam and Eve to eat from the tree of knowledge, they felt naked, but then they heard the Lord God walking in the garden. They hid from him. God called out, "Where are you?" "Adam, I heard you in the garden. I was afraid. I was naked, so I hid." Sin had entered the world, and the relationship with God had been broken, but God still longs for that relationship. Satan has got people to believe in so many false gods and idols and taking people away from Jesus. The first one mentioned in the Bible is Genesis 31. When Laban had gone to shear his sheep, Rachel stole her father's household gods. But probably one of the most well-known ones is in Exodus 32. When Moses was getting the commandments, the people made a golden calf. There's something about us humans that we have a longing in us for a relationship with God through Jesus. The second part of the reading on the wall, no one comes to the Father except through me. Some hymns to help us. God longs to speak to us and hear us. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with the Lord. Or, I serve a risen Saviour. The chorus says, "He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart." Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." Have you started a relationship with God through Jesus? I know most of you have, but I don't know everyone. If the answer is yes, how is your relationship with God doing today? You don't have to answer that, but it's a question you might want to think of. Are you deepening that relationship? Is it gone stale? With that, repentance. Remember, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Have you accepted Jesus? If yes, have you been baptized? It's a fundamental part of Christianity. Peter spoke on the day of Pentecost. The people said, "What must we do?" Peter, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus said before he ascended, "Make disciples of all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." Paul was baptized. Acts 9, verse 18. Something like scales fell from his eyes. and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. We often look at everything Paul did, and we're reading one of his books now. But I just came across this. Before he did anything with the Lord, he was baptized. We saw Jamie baptized the other week. Have you cemented your relationship with God through baptism? If you haven't and would like to know more, then have a word with Stephen, the pastor, at some point. The next one is restoration and transformation. Have you known Jesus restoring you from past hurts or things? Jesus gave the parable of the prodigal son who left home, squandered, and was at rock bottom. He returned home thinking of becoming a servant in his father's house, but was greeted, clothed, and had a feast. Or Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times, but after Jesus rose, he was on a beach, cooked breakfast for the disciples, then asked Peter if he loved him. He was restored, and then Peter spoke on the day of Pentecost. If in Christianity there's no forgiveness or restoration, we don't know how the day of Pentecost would have turned out. Do you know the restoration and transformation Jesus is bringing? If you watch the repair shop, you know an item can be taken in, broken, bits missing, falling apart, but it's left with skilled people and restored to its former glory. It's like that with God with us when we enter into that relationship with him. We come through Jesus. He wants to restore us from all that past hurts, our brokenness, our failures, and restore us to be that person he wants us to be. And he knows we are when he saw us in our mother's womb. Marilyn Baker wrote a chorus, which is, "Jesus, you are changing me." And it goes like this: Jesus, you are changing me. By your spirit, you are making me like you. Jesus, you are transforming me, that your loveliness may be seen in all I do. You are the potter, I am the clay. Help me to be willing to let you have your way. Jesus, you are changing me as I let you reign supreme within my heart. Or the hymn, "Lord, the light of your love," verse 2, "Search me, try me, consume all my darkness." As we gaze on your kingly brightness, so our faces display your likeness, ever changing from glory to glory. Mirrored here, may our lives tell your story. Are you being restored through Jesus from the past and being made like him? The world molds people into categories, into boxes, success, failures, whatever it is. But God doesn't box any one of you into any category. He sees you as a unique son, a unique daughter, with special gifts, special talents for him. He loves you as a unique person. You don't have to allow the world to mold you. Are you allowing God to mold you into the person he knows you are and wants you to be? But the last one is religiousness. The Pharisees and Sadducees were religious people. They knew scriptures but missed Jesus. If you read Matthew 23, now Stephen gives you homework, and this is my homework. If you haven't read Matthew 23 for a while, have a read at that at some point. It's a chapter where Jesus says what the Pharisees and teachers of the law alike. Two examples. He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when he becomes one of you, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you are. Or woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness." A lot of people know what's in the Bible. They can quote scripture. The problem is they don't know Jesus and his love and his forgiveness. You know, it's easy to become religious even in church. But Paul wrote in Galatians, "It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery." Or Philippians 3, "If anyone thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith." We live in a country full of gods and idols. And if you think it's not happening in Paignton, the other week when I was walking around, in one of the windows, I won't say where, there was a statue of Buddha. It's somewhere in Paignton. So Paignton is full of gods as well. We live in a country full of false gods and idols. But remember, it's not religiousness. We have a living saviour in Jesus. So as I conclude, have you started a relationship with Jesus? Have you repented and been baptized? Are you knowing the restoration he can bring? Or are you holding on to any form of religiousness?
Let's just hold that where he finished. And I'd just like to say, if there's anything that you need to bring before the Lord to confess, now is the time to do it. Whatever it might be, I don't know what it is, but Father says, "I love you, and I want the relationship with you to grow, to be stronger." And as Andrew said, no idols in there. Nothing that separates you from relationship with Jesus. I could do a long list, but I am not going to. Let's just spend this time in quiet for a few moments. And if the Lord has challenged you particularly about an area that you need to put right before him, this is the time to do it. So let's just be quiet for a few moments. The word of God is very powerful, And it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive. Do you need to play your part in this? Because he will play his and cleanse you if you ask him. Father, we thank you that you know us inside out and back to front. You know us when we're feeling angry. You know us when we're feeling cross. You know us when we're happy. You know us when we're feeling tired. Father God, we just come again to you and say, Father God, forgive us for the things that we've done wrong, even perhaps this morning. Pour your love down upon us, Lord. Refresh us, revive us, and restore us. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. When we know Jesus as our Saviour and we know those sins are forgiven, we can then sing, Faithful One, So Unchanging. Thank you.
So unchanging. proclaim that your name is exalted, for you reign magnificently, rule victoriously, and your power shall throughout the earth. 3x. Our God is mighty.
From the Lord for us this morning, please feel free to share it now. It's okay if nobody has, but I just want to give that opportunity, just in case the Lord has spoken to you, to bring us a word. Quietness is not a problem, guys. Don't worry about it. Just be quiet before the Lord.
Oh, Lord.
I think for the worship this morning, where we can sing our praises too, knowing for a while that you take us into your heart. We thank you for that love which is accompanying me all through that. How you put up with the organizers, I don't know the word, but you have given me strength. Even now, at my old age now, I say thank you for all the days, all the life I have. Because it works. In you I find strength. My body might be weak, but my love for you will never be changed. So, my wife, dear Lord, I pray that you will be with her today. That she will be healed. I know you might say that that's not possible, but with you, Lord, everything is possible. I thank you for being so wonderful. Thank you for the life you've given me, for the joy of life in marriage, and for the joy today of sharing your love with other people.
Thank you for the music this morning. Thank you for bringing Eileen back to us, who plays this piano as though she's inside it somehow. And her worship helps us to worship. And I thank you for all that's been said and done this morning. And it's lifted our hearts. And I just ask that you will bless each and every one as they go home, that they will. and in the coming days, for Jesus' sake.
Amen. Father, we do thank you that your desire is the presence with us as a church, as a group of small people with two or three, but you desire also to be with us one-to-one. And Lord, in the world, it's very difficult to get a one-to-one with somebody sometimes. But Lord, I thank you that your ears are ever attentive to our prayers and our cries and our heartaches and anything else that may come in. But Lord, I also say, praise you, that you rejoice over us with singing. So Father, as we come to the close of our service this morning, Lord, we just say thank you that you've shown us your love this morning. And Lord, as we sing our last hymn, to God be the glory, Lord, help us to sing it at the top of our voices, even though they may not be very good now. Bless you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now let's conclude with our last hymn, To God Be the Glory. Thank you. Together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Bless you. Please feel free to come through for coffee if you have the time, and just to share and chat and have a biscuit, I understand. Bless you. Thank you. Thank you.